assembly may be seated. We're going to depart from the way things are laid out in the bulletin just slightly. The second year Hebrew class is going to chant the words of our psalm today in Hebrew, and you are invited to follow along in the text as it's the page indicated in the worship folder. And then at the end, when they come to the Gloria Patri, please join in. In the name of our Lord. Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it, is one big celebration of the blessings connected with being able to read and to hear the Word of God. Who the human agent in the composition of this divinely given text was and when it was written are questions that we cannot answer for certain. And that may be just as well, because we are dealing here with issues that transcend specific times and places and individuals. The psalm presents a passion for the Word of God, which knows no bounds. It speaks of the Word of God under many synonymous expressions. It highlights many characteristics of the Word of God, and it celebrates a long list of blessings bestowed by the Word of God. First of all, note that the psalm assumes that there really is such a thing as revelation from God, to which we human beings can have access, and from which we can know specifics about the will of God for us. The understanding of how God relates to His creation and to us human beings in particular is not limited or restricted by assertions that God is too remote or too lofty to be so vitally interested in His creatures in such a way that He could communicate with them and reveal Himself to them in specific ways. On the contrary, the psalm asserts God has spoken, and that is both the assumption and the assertion of the psalm throughout. These are the expressions which the psalm uses in this section that we are considering today to refer to the revelation that comes from God. Word, ordinances, law in the sense of teaching, precepts, testimonies, and commandments. These are not distinct and separate things at all. They are finally synonyms which get at different aspects of the same thing, namely the revelation or disclosure of himself which God gives in Scripture. God's revelation in his word, first of all, is that which he speaks. His revelation consists of ordinances, things which God has decreed. It is his teaching by which he imparts knowledge of the things that we need to know for our salvation. It is made up of divine precepts, the things which God has mandated. It constitutes the testimonies of God, the things which he asserts as true, and it includes the commandments of God, the principles that are laid down by the authority of God. The characteristic of this revelation from God, which is especially highlighted in this portion of Psalm 119, is its eternal nature. It is forever. It endures for all generations. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for even the smallest letter of the Word of God to fail. The Word of our God stands forever. 2 years ago, the Science Museum of Minnesota had an exhibit featuring those documents that we usually refer to as the Dead Sea Scrolls. At that exhibit, I went up to one display case, and the words which first caught my eye were these words from Psalm 119, Le'olam Adonai, Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Some unknown Jewish scribe over 2,000 years ago had taken a pen and ink and carefully inscribed those words on a piece of parchment. And there they were, still legible today. The preservation of that particular document for 2,000 years is a remarkable story, but it's just one tiny aspect of the greater truth conveyed in Psalm 119, that the word of our God stands forever. The particular benefit or blessing of the word which is underscored in these verses is this. The word has the power to create and to sustain life. The psalm puts it in this way. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them they have given me life. Jesus made this bold claim. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And this is so, because he is the very eternal Word of God, who was with God in the beginning, and by whom all things were made. He took our flesh and blood to himself in his incarnation, in order to provide for us the redemption which we will find in no one other than him. When we celebrate the eternal nature and the life-giving quality of the Word of God, we are celebrating nothing other than the truth concerning the Savior, the Word of God made flesh. Just as many were scandalized and fell away when it was asserted that Jesus from Nazareth, whom men supposed to be the son of Joseph the carpenter, was the Christ, the incarnate Son of the living God, so also many are still scandalized and fall away at the assertion that we have the Word of God in the sacred Scriptures, which we can hold in our hands and read with our eyes and hear with our ears. But the faithful of every generation will confess, where else shall we go? Where else shall we go? In the sacred Scriptures, we have words which convey eternal life. Blessed are they that hear this word of God and keep it. And let us celebrate it by the singing of the Te Deum Laudamus. Please rise.
grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until we at last obtain salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Let us bless the Lord.